Amen. The text tonight is found in John chapter 11 and the verse 6. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. At the very commencement of this service tonight, we were singing that great hymn of William Piper, God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform, he plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Which one of us tonight can fully understand and explain the mysterious workings of God? I am unable tonight to preach to you and to show to you and to explain to you tonight about the mysterious workings of God. Think of that in relation to the new birth. The Lord Jesus makes it absolutely plain. Ye must be born again in John 3 and verse 7. And yet he tells us in the next verse, in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We cannot fully understand the new birth. The Holy Spirit comes down upon the heart of the unconverted, brings conviction, and brings them to the Lord Jesus Christ and regenerates their soul. We can't fully understand that. There are times in the believer's lives that we cannot fully understand the mysterious workings of God. I know we all love to be on the mountaintop. I know there are times in our life we all love to have our hearts full of joy. I know there are times in the Christian life we want to know where we are going and what is happening around us. But in our times, we cannot see these things. It says in Isaiah 50 verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and of no light? The mysterious workings of God in relation to conversion, and the mysterious workings of God in relation to the Christian. I cannot fully understand it or explain it tonight. Why God takes us by the hand and he leads us into the darkness. But he does. Maybe tonight that is you. The mysterious workings of God. Think of the mysterious working. Think of the moment of his workings. Sometimes God works quickly. There are times it seems God opens up the windows of heaven and he pours down his Spirit upon the church. And in a moment, perhaps a man may arise like Peter and he may preach one sermon and there are thousands saved. God can do that. That's what happened in the day of Pentecost. One man arose and preached. There were 3,000 saved. In Acts 4 and verse 4, another message was preached and there were 5,000 that were saved. And there came in the moment of the workings of God, he works quickly. And God can do that. It's told by Gypsy Smith. I'm sure you heard of Gypsy Smith. He was sent to a place called Chatham in England. A number of other pastors had been sent on that work. Nobody could make it work. Nobody was interested. Nobody would come in to hear the gospel preached. And Gypsy Smith went that day to preach. And the very first meeting that he preached, there were 13. 9 months later, there were 250. There are times in the moment of the workings of God, you see, he works quickly. He opens up the windows of heaven and he pours down his Spirit wonderfully. And many souls can be saved. That gives us all hope tonight when we come to pray. God can change Kilkeel in a moment. God can change the land of Ulster in a moment. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. But let me say this. Normally God works slowly. God is never in a hurry. There are times, in fact, that the work that we're involved in seems to have stopped, or, and can I say, there is a delay in the workings. We find this in this passage in John chapter 11, well familiar to all of us. Great trouble had come into the house of Mary and Martha. Lazarus, their brother, was sick, nigh unto death. And so they sent a message to the only one they could think who could solve this problem and who could help them, and none other but Christ. And when the Lord Jesus received this message, instead of rising up quickly and running after this servant, we find he did something. He abode 2 days where he was. He didn't go. He delayed his coming to help them at this time. And many of God's people tonight, perhaps in the same position of Mary and Martha, you have prayed. You have asked the Lord to come and to help you. A particular problem, a particular need, and earnestly and sincerely and continually, you have sought God and you have brought it before the Lord and you have asked the Lord to come. But he hasn't come. Just like Mary and Martha, he asked the Lord to come, but he didn't come. There was his delay. And tonight I want us to think then in this first 6 where he bowed 2 days still in the same place where he was. I want us to speak tonight on the delay of Christ. Now let's think first of all the reason for his delay. I think we need to ask this question. Why was it the Lord Jesus stayed? And I think if somebody came to my house and says, "Noel, we urgently need you," what we would get up, get dressed, jump in the car and follow that person or go with that person as quickly as we could. But why is it then the Lord Jesus Christ, it tells us here, that he abode 2 days? Why did he not rise up immediately? Why the delay? Can I say, first of all, was it because of the distance that he had to walk? John 10 verse 40 tells us where he was, and he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And John 1 verse 28 it tells us as Bethabara beyond Jordan, and this was some distance from where he had to go to. Some people say this was the place where the children of Israel passed over Jordan. So was it because of the distance that the Lord didn't go? But I want to say to you tonight, that's not the reason he didn't go. That was not the reason he didn't rise up and go with these servants, because distance was no problem with the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have been there in a moment. We find over in John chapter 6 and the verse 21, the Lord Jesus told the disciples to go to Capernaum, and then it says, when he entered into the ship to them, then he received them into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Notice, immediately the ship was there. And as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ got into this ship with the disciples, in a moment the Lord Jesus Christ was at Capernaum with his disciples. And so distance was no object to Christ. He could have been in Bethany in one moment. He could have went there by his supernatural power. And anyway, could I say, distance was no object to his healing. He only had to speak the word. He only had to say to the servant, "Listen, don't worry about it. He's healed. He's healed." Because we find in Matthew 8 verse 8 about the centurion's servant. The centurion answered and says, "Lord, I am not worthy that I should have come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed." And here's a man believed in Christ. And he says, "Lord, all you have to do is to speak the word." That's all he had to do. So distance was not the reason why the Lord Jesus didn't go. It was not because not of distance, but of the disciples, either. You see, in verse 7 and 8, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Now, they remembered the last time they were in this place. And they remembered how the enemies rose up against Christ. and lift the stones and to order to stone Christ to death. They remembered all this. Well, was this the reason why the Lord didn't go? Did he say, well, I'm not going to put these men's lives in danger? Or did he go to the disciples and say to the disciples, well, we have to go to Judea again? And was he wasting his time trying to encourage them to go? And that is not the case. He could have won himself. And anyway, can I say to you, they were willing to go. In verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. And so he's full of boldness. And he says to the other disciples, well, we know all what happened the last time, but you know, let us go. We'll even die with him. You see, the reason was not because of the distance or the disciples. He didn't spend 2 days trying to persuade these men to go with him. That's not the reason for the delay. Was the reason for the delay because of the duties of his work? You see, he did not say to the servant, I cannot arise, you know, I'm too busy. Because he had a lot of people around him in this case. Look at chapter 10, verse 41. And many were sorted unto him. Many. They were coming from all over. I mean, mothers and fathers and boys and girls. They were all coming round the feet of Christ. And was this the reason why he didn't come? That's why he didn't come to heal Lazarus. Did he say he was too busy? You find the Lord never turned anybody away who came to him seeking help, despite his busyness, and he was busy. He went about doing good, healing the sick and preaching the gospel. It was not just because of the busyness of the work or the duties of the work, but the difficulty of the work. Lazarus was sick. That word sick means disease and potent, to be made weak. In Mark 6 and verse 56, it says about a group of people led in the streets, and they led the sick in the streets. That's the same word. Lazarus is helpless. Lazarus is dying. Lazarus, as we know, was going towards death. Did the Lord Jesus not go? Because he couldn't heal him. Did he look in the case and say, well, the case is too hopeless? This man was seriously ill as you and I. No, he died. Did the Lord Jesus not go because he couldn't solve the problem? That's not the reason either. We know that Christ had power to heal, and his sisters knew this, because they said in verse 21 when the Lord Jesus turned up, Lord, if I had been here, my brother had not died. And the verse 32, Mary says, if I had been here, my brother had not died. That was not the reason Christ did not come. The sisters said, Lord, if you had come, if you had been here in time, you would have healed him. He wouldn't have died. So the reason for his delay was not because of the difficulty of the work, not because he was too busy, or not because he couldn't do it. But the reason for his delay was this. It was according to his divine will. God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. If you look at the text, you will see, and when he, underline the word he, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Three times the emphasis on this verse for the whole delay was on Christ, not the disciples. Not the difficulties of the work. Not the distance. But here it tells us in our text, the reason why Christ did not go was all to do with him. His divine plan and purpose. It was not his time to go. It was not his time. He had a divine plan to fulfill. And he would not be rushed. He would not be rushed. That is why he delayed his going to their aid. It was all to do with Christ's divine will. In Ephesians 1, verse 11, it says about the Lord, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And we must remember that. Christ worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He will not be rushed. He will not be hurried. He will not come in our time. But he comes in his. And that's why he abode 2 days. It was according to his divine will. It was all to do with Christ. Now, how often I can say to each one of us tonight, you've asked the Lord to come. If you have a problem, a difficulty in your life, and you have sought God, maybe, dear friends, you have sought him with tears, and you've asked him to come, but he hasn't turned up. What's the reason? What's the reason? Is it because of distance? We know the Lord's in heaven. Listen, friends, distance is no object. Anyway, the Lord is with us. He is with his people. Hebrews 13, verse 5, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And so the reason our problems are not solved is not because of distance, because Christ is with us. Not because of his disciples, his people. There are people who love Christ with all of their heart and seek to love him and seek to follow Christ. But yet the Lord hasn't come. He hasn't come. He still lingers. Has he not turned up for you because of his duties? We know he's in heaven. We know he's praying. He's making intercession for his people. Is it because he's too busy? He hasn't come to you. Is it because your problem's too hard? Has he not turned up because of the difficulty of your problem? Is that the reason he hasn't turned up? Are we saying tonight he has no power to heal? No power to sort out your problem? Dear friends, the reason is the same. As Mary and Martha learned, it was the divine will of Christ to wait. There are times we have to wait for God. There are times we have to wait. It is not his time to come yet. Prayers not been answered. Souls are not being saved. Maybe progress is not taking part the way we want to. Because of the divine will of God. He has not come. In God's work there will always be delays. I think we had to learn that. God is never, never, ever in a hurry. Never. But he's always in time. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. Now the promise away in Genesis. I think of the years, about 4,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. And every time a child was born, they were hoping that the Messiah would be born. God was in no hurry. Says Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so God's in the fullness of time. The Lord Jesus Christ had to wait to begin his earthly ministry. He had to wait till he was 30 years old before he came and to preach the word of God. And so in the life of Christ he had to wait. There are times you and I have to wait on God. Mary and Martha had to wait. The invitation was sent out, but he abode 2 days. And maybe you have brought a petition to the Lord, a need to the Lord, and he hasn't turned up. It's according to his divine will and purpose. Keep on believing and trusting. Can I say secondly, the response to Christ's delay? Imagine these ladies waiting each day for Christ. 2 days. Perhaps it was 4 days by the time he got to them. Looking out through the window. Looking down through the valley. Looking to see, is he coming? Is there any sign of him? Is the Lord Jesus coming today? One day goes past. Another day goes past. Another day goes past. What was their response to his delay? Can I say this? What they believed. They believed the Lord Jesus still loved them. They believed that. Because it says in verse 3, Lord, behold, he whom thou loveth is sick. In verse 5 it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, you see. And the Bible tells us that Christ loved them. He loved them. And the Lord Jesus did not turn up, but they believed this, that Christ still loved them. He still cared. And I have no doubt to Mary and Martha, to their hearts, and come into the home, the old devil came into that home himself. Perhaps he whispered into their ears, he does not come because he doesn't love you. He has not turned up because he doesn't care, you see. But in their delay, they remembered that Christ still loved them. He still loved them. And Jesus loved Martha. He still loved them. Now it's good for us to remember this, friends, because when you're waiting on something, and you've asked the Lord to come, and he has not turned up, the devil comes in. And the devil would tell us, or suggest to us, that Jesus doesn't care. He doesn't care. And that he doesn't love you anymore. And it's good for us to remember that God always loves me. Always loves me. That there will never be a time that he will not love me. And tells us that in Romans 8 verse 34 to 39. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he gives all the different things that would try to separate us. And then he says in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul was absolutely, friends, sure of this. Despite that would come between him and God, nothing could separate him from the love of Christ. And it's good to remember, when Christ doesn't turn up, that he still loves you. He still loves you. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He didn't turn up, but it didn't mean he didn't love them. You have brought your petition to the Lord. The Lord Jesus has not turned up, in a sense. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Remember, he still loves you. And also in their response, they believed that Christ had loved them. They believed that he had heard them. They believed that Christ had heard them. They had sent their servant. No name was given to them. You see there in verse 3, the servant came, therefore his sister sent on to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And it says, and when he heard, therefore that he was sick. He heard the message. And when the servant returned back to the home, there's no mention here that they questioned the servant. Did you go? Did you see him? Are you sure it was him? Did you tell him what was happening? Did you tell him how serious it is with Lazarus? There's no mention at all that these ladies questioned the servant about this message. No, they believed Jesus had heard it. They believed he had received the message. And they believed that the whole problem, the whole thing, was placed in the hands of Christ. That's what they believed. He didn't come. But they believed he heard all about it and knew all about it. And I want to say to all of us tonight, in the order layers, and we all have them, it's good to remember that Christ has heard us. He heard it. He knows all about it. It says in Psalm 6 and verse 9, the Lord hath heard my supplications. The Lord will receive my prayer, you see. He has heard it, says the psalmist. He knew when he got down on his knees, and he believed with all his heart when he cried unto God, that God had heard him. And dear child of God, believe. Keep on believing. Jesus has heard you. He heard that groan. You've seen that tear that fell from your eyes. That cry that ascended out of your heart, you've seen. He heard it. And you believe that. You believe that he heard me. He's heard it, you see. And I know we question ourselves, and the devil comes against us and gets us cast down and oppressed, you see. Just believe it, that the Lord has heard it. And working all things out in his own will. Anyway, we cannot tell the Lord when and how he should come. We cannot dictate to the Lord. Some people like to think we can say the Lord move to the right and move to the right and or move to the left and do this and do that. And some people would think that in prayer that God's really our servant. We just bring petition after petition and say, "I want this, I want that, do this, do that," and the Lord's running about here and doing this. What else do you want? Well, that's not the case with prayer at all, you see. As A.W. Pink said, prayer was never designed to place us on the throne, but to bring us to our knees before it. It is not for the creature to dictate to the Creator. It is not for us to tell the Lord when he should turn up. We are to leave all in the Lord. Psalm 62 and verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times, you people." And so their response to the day of Christ was that Christ still loved them. And also that they believed he had heard them. And also, can I say, they believed he was coming. He didn't come for 2 days, but they believed Jesus was coming. There was no doubt about this in their hearts. They had sent a request to Christ. They believed he had heard it. But let me say, friends, they believed he was coming. In verse 21, when Christ appeared, she said, "Lord, if I had been here, my brother had not died." She never said, "I thought you were not coming." She never said that. She said, "Lord, I thought you were not coming, but if you had been here..." She knew he was coming. She knew. And even though Christ hadn't come, she believed he was coming. He was coming. And God's people should believe the same, that the Lord Jesus will one day appear and answer our prayer. He will do it. And Psalm 37 verse 5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he," listen, "shall bring it to pass." That's what it says in the Bible. Commit our way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. And these ladies kept their faith in Christ during the whole delay, you see. They never lost faith in Christ. They believed he was coming. May you and I be the same faith when Christ doesn't come. Keep on believing. He will not fail. We were singing that hymn. It's a great hymn to sing together. And I used to love singing that over in Lewis in England. "When you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtles, temptations, troubles abound, nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad, all is despairing, even times sad, keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing, there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing, this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day." And dear friends, that should be our response when Christ doesn't come. Keep on believing. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. He will hear. God's delays are not his denials. Not his denials. Because he has not come at the moment, and because he has not answered your prayer this moment, doesn't mean it's not going to be answered. All, dear friends, is under his control. He'll never come too early, and he'll never come too late. That's what they believed. That the Lord loved them, and heard them, and it was coming. And how they behaved in their response? Well, they just waited. They waited and they watched. And they watched. It says in verse 20, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming..." Evidently there was somebody watching. There was somebody looking out for this. And the whole time that Christ was not coming, here's what these people did, friends. They waited and they watched. That's what they did. And that's all you and I can do, is to wait quietly for the Lord to come. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He hath cried unto me and heard me cry. Let us wait patiently for the Lord. This was the response to this delay of Christ. They believed that he loved them. He had heard them. He was coming. And then in their belief, in their behaviour, they waited and they watched. And let us be the same. Let us just keep on believing and keep on watching for the Lord to come. Again, I said lastly, the results of the delay. Why is it the delay? Well, why was it? So Lord, why did the Lord not go just there and then? Well, what is the result of all this delay of Christ? First of all, can I say, to give patience to the saints. One of the results of delay is patience. The Lord wants to teach his people patience. It says in James 1 verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, you see. Worketh patience. How can God learn us patience? If we get everything in a moment. If we get everything in a moment, how can you learn us patience? That's one of the virtues of the Christian, is patient. We're living a day and age when everything is done in a moment. We like everything in a moment. We hate traffic jams. I don't like traffic jams. We hate waiting for people. If somebody says, I'll pick you up at 7:15 and we're prancing the floor and it's 20 to 8 and where did they go to? We hate waiting on things. On food, you go to a chip shop. You hate waiting, the boy gets cooking. And so on. We hate waiting. But in the Christian life, we must have patience. We must have patience. Now, if you and I got everything we wanted at a drop of a hot, how could we ever learn patience? If I bought a taste of the Lord, here's what I want, and there it is, sitting, oh, that's great, like fast food, McDonald's, you go in and order it, and they're sitting on the counter. How could God ever learn us patience? That's why there's delays. We have to learn patience, you see. Abraham had to wait 25 years for his son. That wasn't easy. Elijah had to wait upon the Lord at the brook Cherith and watch that brook go down and down and down and come into a drought. The children of Israel had to wait 40 years in the wilderness before they went into the promised land. You see, there are times we have to wait. Patience. That's one of the virtues of the Christian. That's why the Lord doesn't come, to teach us patience. Patience to the Savior. Can I say last night quickly, to show the power of the Savior. Indeed, this was the main reason why he did not come suddenly. He was going to do one of the greatest miracles that was seen in Jerusalem. Go on the state. This goat turned the clap back to Lazarus in his home, who was sick. And the family gathered around the bed and mopping his brow. And he was sinking down and down, lower and lower every day. Then he fell into the sleep of death. Things are getting worse. Then they take Lazarus and they put him into a tomb and they seal the tomb. Then the sister says, by this time he stinketh. Like, things couldn't get much worse, could they? Things are getting worse. Blacker and blacker every day. But it is then when Jesus turned up. That's when he turned up, friends. When things was at his very worst, and when there seemed to be no hope, they looked and there he was. The man of Calvary. That's when Jesus turns up. And you know all about what happened when he turned up. The man, Lazarus, in the tomb, he took him out of the tomb, friends. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. You see, friends, this is the reason Christ didn't. This was the reason for them. Verse 4, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Listen, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Look at how Christ was glorified.
Look at how God was glorified when the Lord Jesus Christ turned up, you see. Everyone saw this day the almighty power of God when all seemed lost.
The Lord Jesus turned it all around. Now the people wouldn't have saw that if the Lord Jesus had a went 2 days or before with the servant. He just would have healed them. But when he turned up, they saw this mighty miracle. And dear friend, that's the same with maybe your situation. Maybe you say, no, it's getting worse. Really, really is getting worse. As time goes on, it's sinking and I feel death coming in and everything, trouble and darkness and clouds are all around me. Things are getting worse. Maybe you say tonight, there's no hope. That's when Jesus will turn up and you'll see the mighty power of God. And thus is the result of Christ's delays. It says his purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour, the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. That's the result of the delay of Christ. You'll see his power someday. He will turn up, he will answer your prayer, and you say, stand back and say, what a great Saviour I have. May God bless his word and encourage you to keep on believing, keep on trusting, and wait patiently for the Lord. Amen.
We're going to get straight to prayer. We thank our brother Noah for bringing God's word tonight. Let's seek the Lord now in prayer.